Andy, how's it going, man?
It's going well. Starting to get caught up on sleep a little bit. It's been a long stretch for us leading up to football. I mean, it was definitely a bit of a mad dash at the end. Things are still busy, but we can take our foot off the gas a little bit and recuperate. So that's been good. But yeah, it's all good over here. How are things on your end?
Yeah, good. A lot going on, just like always, I think. But yeah, it's all good, man. We have our team retreat next week. So it'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We have 3 hours each day that we'll be together. And a combination of like work stuff, planning, OKRs we're going to roll out. And then we have like a person coming in each day to present to us and do fun stuff. Like we have someone coming in to talk about like how to make like the perfect cup of coffee. And we have a magician coming in. We have someone to come in and do like a virtual treasure hunt and stuff. So like all that really fun stuff. We're going to have a meal together the first day where like everyone will have pizza or Uber Eats or whatever delivered. So yeah, it's cool. It's been a decent amount of planning, but not terrible. And looking forward to it. Like we need it. Everyone needs some connection, I think. So yeah, that's what's going on over here. You guys have a lot of new stuff, right? To kind of report on, right? Like the rollout, and understand there's some stuff going on with the pricing and football starting and all this to like confluence all at once, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've been doing the redesign for 9 or 10 months, honestly. And the first few months is just basically a false start. We had to scrap a lot of that. And then it was just working more closely with a designer from that point on. And so we wanted that to be done a lot earlier. But then as we started getting closer to football season, it was like, it absolutely has to be done before this. One, we just need an end date to getting this shipped. But two, it's just we get a massive surge in traffic. And I think as it started coming together, it's like there's more functionality in the new version of the app. And it just works better. Like it's a better user experience. Like I was convinced that like it's going to help significantly with conversions and everything else. And so I was like, we need to make sure this is in place so we can take advantage of it for football. So yeah, it was like, I think early August, we had been using it internally it got to the point where we were able to use it for a month or so ourselves. It had some performance issues, but like it worked. And so we had Brian, who's the senior front end consultant working with us, just go heads down and work on performance. And then Eduardo and Matt just working on bugs and adding in new functionality. Cause it's like, we could have released it then. And that was kind of where some of the delays came from, was like, we could have released it earlier if it wasn't for the performance issues, but it just felt slow. Some of it was purely design, where like you would click on a button and there wasn't really that response to it. You didn't know, like it would take a second for something to happen. Even if in the back end, it was immediately starting to do whatever it needed to do, you didn't get that feeling. So things just felt slower, even if they weren't. So that was the easier stuff to fix. But then there were things that like actually were slower. And with how much time we had put into it, it started getting to the point where it's like, all right, like we can't reveal this and have it seem like shit. And we want it to make this worth it. It has to really blow people away. And I think that's where the project expanded, was like, if we're putting this much effort into it, I don't want it to just be like some superficial upgrade. So we said like, we have to get the performance to be at least as good as the current app so that there's no regressions there. Because I think if you release something new and you're forcing people to change how they use your product, that's fine if there's more functionality, and if nothing, like pretty much nothing is actually worse, because like people will always focus on those couple things that are worse. And like, I didn't want that to really just kind of spoil the project. So fortunately we have the three developers on the front end, or at least we're able to shift Matt over to this more. So Brian could just focus on the performance stuff. And then Matt would do a lot of the bug fixing that we were uncovering as we were testing. And Eduardo, because we had the time, was like, all right, like add some more features in there. And so it got to the point where we felt good about performance, but more to do, but we were at least able to get in front of beta users. We had like originally it was going to be a pretty small group of people that we invited. And then I was just like, fuck it. Like we've got football coming up. That will not be a small audience. Like we need to make sure that
better to stress test
we
early.
We need to catch everything that we can up front. So we just did on one of our office hours. Mention that, let everyone know on our Slack channel, our Slack group about it. and got a lot of people in there. And so, yeah, we got a bit overwhelmed with the feedback right away. But after, honestly, a couple weeks, we made amazing progress, which people like to see. And there weren't really new bug reports coming in. There were things we were already aware of. And that's what we needed to do to get comfortable releasing it for such a busy time of year. Because like the stakes are pretty high, where it's like you're going to get 30, 40, 50% growth potentially if you play your cards right this time of the year. And like then from afterwards, you're going to plateau for a bit. And so if you mess this up, that could be like, there goes your growth for the year. But I was confident as there were in the middle of summer, there are times where like I wasn't super confident about it because there was enough friction. There was enough performance issues, enough things where I'm like, all right, like this looks better, but I don't know if it actually is. But as we started making progress, as people started using, we got the feedback that gave us the confidence, like, all right, like just heads down, get this out the door. And we did. And definitely some, we knew there were going to be some new bugs coming up once we go to a wider audience, but it went honestly about as well as it could have, where there were no major issues and the team was responsive. They were able to, like when things did come up, we were able to get it fixed. So like it could have been pretty hairy. Part of it, I think, is just frankly, like, yeah, we got lucky that there weren't that one, that the people were able to get in there earlier were able to work out so many more kinks. But I think a lot of it was just, yeah, like putting it through the paces ourselves and just no other priorities for the front end devs other than that.
That focus is really powerful, man, right? Like I've been, as you know, like I've been in OKR mode planning for the last couple of weeks, getting ready. Like we'll be talking about it in our retreat, but like it is a really powerful thing to say, like, this is the thing. And basically every kind of elective decision we have should go towards this, right? There's, you know, there's taking care of customers and sending marketing emails and all these kind of things that are just like baseline activities. But like every bit of extra resource we can put towards something should go towards the thing. And like, that's really cool. You guys were able to do that. Like it takes a lot of discipline, you know?
Yeah. And I think we were only really able to do it because we have such a strong team in place right now. I think for Matt and I, it was definitely hectic, but we were able to get the front end guys focused just on this. The support people understood that like their job was to put it through the paces themselves, to collect all the feedback and pass those bugs along to the front end developers. And then on back end, they weren't really that involved with it. For them, it was more just like making sure all of our shit's as bulletproof as possible for football. So testing the new data sources that we're working with, getting all that up to speed. And then on the models, Will was just able to go heads down on the football model and improving that. But like we had the people in place where, yes, Matt and I would have to check in with everyone and make sure that like unblock them on different things and help provide some guidance. But like after that, they could go and move the ball forward on their own while we were more hands-on with the redesign stuff. And I think without everybody that we have on the team right now, like that just wouldn't at all have been possible. It's like we wouldn't have been as focused on the redesign and everything else still would have suffered. But like I think it all really came together and it was pretty cool to feel that.
That's awesome. That's super awesome. I know we talked about like doing retro after the fact. Like have you guys had time to do that yet? Or I know with football just starting, it's kind of
not yet. Intense. So it's like the plan is we're going to do one-on-ones with everyone. I'm going to do one-on-ones with everyone next week. And then we'll probably, in our weekly call, try to get some feedback, try to do more of a team retro on that there. But I think, I'll get more work on that on like the one-on-one stuff next week. And because even just for me looking back on it, the biggest mistake I made was just trying to view it as more of a refactor than a redesign. And so like not bringing in an actual designer early in the process. And it was basically just me and Brian, who is our front-end consultant, just working on that. And like that just wasted a couple months. But once we got it going, I think the biggest thing I could have done is like focus more on it. But as we got towards the end, like everything really started coming together. But I'm definitely curious to hear from people who are more in the trenches on what we could have done differently. Hopefully, though, we don't have to tackle a project of this scope for a long time. But
I mean, I think like the big projects are like an amplification of the good and bad things that you do as like from a process perspective, so that when you do the easier, shorter, smaller ones, that like they just go better too. So I don't think it's wasted time.
It made me think a lot more about delegating, and it was just by necessity had to delegate more to Jordan, who's marketing specialist on the team, but primarily focused on content. And that was really helpful. But what it more made me realize is like, all right, I don't want to be in the day-to-day check-ins and all of that with the rest of the team unless necessary. I just don't think I can add that much value there. But in strategic planning at the start of the week, I think that's it's good for me to be there. But like we need people, leaders who can then from there go work with the rest of the teams. And we basically have that now, which made it a lot easier, but we don't have it on marketing. And so all of my time was taken up by managing things and then just a crazy amount of coordination between the developers and then the designer. Like that was a product person like leading all this. And so going forward, it would be cool to have a product person, but like I just don't think there's an immediate need for it after we just put so much effort into this. Like we're not going to be making major changes. Like I'm fine when we do work on a new feature, spending some time at that point, work on like, that's fine. But it's really just like on marketing, we don't have that. And I can't, when I'm managing everything else, it's like the marketing just doesn't get done because like Jordan is moving forward on his efforts, but on a lot of more of the growth side of things, like the funnels, the sales copy, that kind of stuff, that falls to me, and which means I just don't do it. And so I think from here, what it's going to be is, again, like I'm okay being in that leadership role, even for marketing, but it's like I need more help there. So I think going forward, it's we're definitely in the spot where it's a balance because we do want to get to profitability. I think, and on marketing, I think that's one where we would get an ROI relatively quickly from a hire there. On development to me is not a cost center, but it's not like it's going to immediately turn into profits. There's table stakes of things that we have to do, and when we do things better, that's going to get more customers. But it's just not as direct a relationship. On the marketing side, though, I think it can be when you're strategic about it. So it's like going forward, I'm going to be thinking first about just, can I just get like a copywriter as like a contractor to just write these weekly emails, the bi-weekly emails to help me with the website copy. And then like, I'll give feedback, but they can do the drafts, they can get it going. Like, I feel like that's one role that doesn't need to be full-time, but would actually take a ton off my plate. And then figuring out like what other roles are there? And seeing again if contractors can do it or if we have to look full time. And if we do look full time, just making sure like, all right, how confident am I that this would actually give us an ROI? Because we are again like on that path to profitability. And I don't want to just like very quickly like veer off that path. So that's kind of what's bouncing around in my head right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You all also changed pricing as part of the new rollout and everything. Like, there's not enough going on. You throw one more wrench in the works.
Yes, I mean, that was something that we had thought about. And honestly, I credit a lot of it to the support team. Pretty much like individually, each had mentioned to me like, hey, like I think we're actually priced low compared to the market. And that with the feedback they've been hearing, being just overwhelmed, like there was very little negative feedback, if any, to it. Like people had questions about where do I find this? How do I do that? But no one was like, why did you make these changes? And it was just very positive and a lot of excitement. So I think they had their finger on the pulse for that and just thought that like when you look at the market, like it almost did us a disservice where we were priced because we don't
relate lower value.
And so put some thinking into it. And it's technically a price increase, but not. So what we did is we have two tiers. We have starter and advanced. Those were $39.99 and $69.99. Then we have an add-on that's called the entry editor with late swap. It basically is like, it saves people honestly for like a few hours a week using this tool. And it gives them some extra functionality that like more advanced players are looking for. The thinking of having it separate was just like, all right, like that is clearly, like, there's a positive ROI paying $20 a month for that tool for almost anybody. But it was hard to talk about, to market it when like, and to really promote it when as like a core part of your process when you didn't include it as a core part of the product.
Yep.
And so
it's always an add-on to in people's mind. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but like in our minds, in the people that were using it, it's like, no, like you truly use that every time you play DFS. Like it just simplifies the process dramatically. But so like, all right, if that's the case, like why should people pay extra for that? Like why, like if we give it to them, won't that help with churn? Won't that help with all these other things and have a more... And so what we did is include it in every plan and then increase the starter plan $10 a month to $49.99 and increase the advanced plan $20 a month to $89.99. And we also, which I know for a lot of like the MicroConf world, it's like sacrilege to hear this, like we grandfathered current customers in indefinitely. We will not be raising prices on them. And if they, Craig is dropping his jaw right now, but like if, and to go even further, the people that were paying $20, we just cancel that and just are giving it to them for free. So that like immediately actually like was a noticeable hit to MRR where we just cut that product off. But this is something I don't think gets talked about nearly enough in these price raising discussions. I think in a standard B2B SaaS company with low single digit annual churn, yeah, you should grandfather indefinitely because like those people aren't going anywhere. And so there's minimal benefits and retention and other things to doing that. If you are worried about relationships and all that, like you can do temporary grandfathering. But yeah, I think like that's kind of the angle that the don't grandfather comes from, in my opinion. Whereas for us, like I just don't think those arguments apply to us because I think in a high churn consumer industry, building more trust with your customers, building better relationships is going to pay massive dividends. And like just practically speaking, people are going to be less likely to churn if they know that they will never get this price again and that the price is X dollars higher. They're going to feel like we're doing them a favor, which we are, like we're giving them more for the same price or less. And that I think the math I did out is like, if it even has a minimal impact on churn, it's going to more than pay for itself. And I'm very confident it will. And it just builds a lot of goodwill. Like I think at the end of the day, we have a very community driven business. And like that alone is worth it for us to just keep that going. So yeah, that's kind of the pricing thing. And so far, it's just super hard to get specific in like measuring this because yes, like signups didn't seem to slow down. It seems like we had a lot of signups, but like you have to compare it to last year. But last year was like with COVID seasons and everything. And so like, it's just very hard to get a good comparison. But I would be very surprised if this had a negative impact. And like just qualitatively, we're not getting many complaints about price. And so that's kind of been reaffirming.
Just to play devil's advocate then, like if your new customers are coming in and not complaining about the price, shouldn't your existing customers also feel that the new price is fair to them?
Yeah. From our mind, it wasn't as though we couldn't justify the new price to the current customers. It's that one, I think the amount of goodwill this creates is just good in the sense of being a community-driven business. But two, when it comes to the numbers, I think that it provides a big enough retention benefit for those customers that it's better to have them pay less but pay for longer than pay more but potentially like they're going to be anchored at the older price regardless of what we do. If we increase the price for them, they're all like they're going to be much more apt to find things that are annoying to them and like they're just gonna be looking for things to complain about. And I think the churn would go up for them, whereas leaving them at the current price, they are grateful because they see how much work we've been putting into this. We talk about it. They see the constant improvements to the product. And so like no one is like, I can't believe you're raising prices. They understand that. And then they, yeah, again, like they're grateful that they get to keep because they've been a long-term supporter for us. We get to kind of build on that and reward them for that. So that's the thinking. I think for us in our industry and our model, again, just being very focused on community in a high churn industry, from the math that I did out, like I would be blown away if this was a wrong decision.
Yeah. It's also the more conservative decision.
Oh, for sure. I think there's going to be some middle ground with for maybe like listeners who have businesses that have more reasonable churn, but maybe it's not like the 1% a month or 2 or 3% a month. It's like 5 to 10. And like, yeah, like that's probably more borderline. But I think there's two clear camps, in my opinion. I think it's our side of it hasn't been discuss as much, where it's just like the party line is raise prices often and don't grandfather.
Yeah, I mean, just coincidentally, we raised prices on our very first customers. Like, we haven't offered that price in 2 years, 2.5 years probably, just starting last month. And it generally went well. We had a couple people tell me where to go, but generally like went really well. And it's like, it's not that much. It's like, yeah, it's a pretty small increase. We're looking at a price metric change coming up soon to where we have like unlimited everything right now. And we're going to be kind of tiering price based on downloads here with the new marketing site release, which will be around the end of the month. So like, that's one that I'm pretty nervous about, but feel like it's funny just now, you know, 4.5 years into this, that like we really can justify charging what we should, you know, for people that are really getting a lot of value out of the product and saying like, hey, if you have a podcast that gets 200,000 downloads, you can't pay us what the guy or girl who, you know, has 500 downloads an episode.
What are your primarily like fears around it? Because to me, I think it's just such a logical and like understandable metric where even if you're not big into tech, you're not that tech savvy, but like a podcaster is going to be somewhat tech savvy just by the nature of like what it takes to get one started. But like, it should be intuitive to people that the more people download something, the more it's going to cost the provider. And so like, to me, it's just like, yeah, that makes sense. Like I would understand it. I could see why people might, since you're not going to be grandfathering in, I could see why there could be some frustration from them, but I just don't see the risk from like a new customer because it's just like very logical.
Yeah. I mean, I think from a new customer perspective, this is the metric that a lot of our competitors and more like our peer competitors, like the new hip cool guys are doing. So I feel pretty good about that. And for existing customers, we will grandfather for a period of time, you know, and we will communicate and over communicate and answer questions. And if there are, you know, exceptions that need to be made, you know, maybe we can look at that. But like, I think the biggest fear we have is like, I think a lot of people know us as the place you can come and podcast as much as you want and not worry about it. And so it's just a messaging change, you know, that like, hey, it's not the more successful your show is, the more you're going to get charged. It's the more successful your show is, you're going to unlock these other features that can make your show even more successful, right? Because like our tiers are also feature gated. So like when you go from starter to growth, you unlock these marketing tools. And when you go to like the pro plan, you get video support and advanced analytics and like a lot of new cool things in that tier going forward. And so like, the plan we have is like on the new site, there's going to be language around like, as your show grows, Castos and the functionality of Castos grows with you. So it's not just that we charge more. It's that your show should be using these things. And like, we see people choosing to do that organically, you know, like really serious shows and marketers and stuff want to come in at like our growth or our pro plan because they want these things. And I think it's a little bit our job to like, message that up front and like within the app and then within the communications around like, hey, you're coming up on your limit or you passed your limit and you know, this is what we're going to unlock for you. So yeah, I mean, most all of the time, like a pricing change is something that we all worry a ton about. If it's a good decision, like there's nothing to worry about because it's going to be received well. But yeah, I mean, it's just going through that typical stress stuff at a time.
How do you think about it when there's effectively when there's multiple factors in the pricing, because someone might go to the highest tier just because they get a lot of downloads, whereas someone might not get many downloads but wants some of the features on that. And it's just like, I know in the past there have been times like, oh shit, well like I gotta pay for this higher tier because I want this thing, but like I don't come close to meeting the ceiling of it, and you just feel a little ripped off, which is too strong of language, but like, you get what I'm saying. Like, how have you thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I haven't is the short answer. Like, I haven't thought about saying like, hey, what if we unlock all the features for everyone and just tier based on usage? I haven't really, to be honest. I think,
or it could even be like tiered on usage, and then the other features are add-ons, something like that. But like, I don't know how much you could charge for those things. Like, it all depends. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, this is why pricing is so difficult. Is all that. Like in our space, I have just really fought to keep our pricing simple. And so that's why I'm happy we're getting a bit away from the add-on model. A lot of our competitors will have the NFL only plan, the baseball only plan. They'll have the core four, which includes these sports, or they'll have choose any three, but then they'll also have weekly billing, they'll have monthly billing, they'll have all sorts of just options. And it's like that one, it's sure there are going to be there. We get requests for weekly billing all the time. It's like, well, we have a free trial for a week. And like, if you can only pay for a week at a time, you probably shouldn't really be gambling. So like, don't like, this is not the right fit for you, but it just complicates it so much. And so there's a lot to be said of keeping it simple.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You know, so we essentially have three metrics that we're going to price against, but I feel really good about two of them. You're making me question the feature gating. One is downloads. The other is private subscribers for folks that are doing private podcasting. So like, if you're not doing private podcasting, then that just like, that one doesn't matter. But like, I think that the most common like analogy to what we do is like web hosting, you know? So like, if you look at going to SiteGround or going to DigitalOcean or something, like you buy a thing and it has these kind of metrics around like how powerful that thing is and how much traffic and how much storage and how much bandwidth. And so we just kind of said, that's something everybody understands. And it doesn't penalize the creation side of it. You know, it's not episodes or storage or podcasts, which a lot of our competitors.
Yeah, those ones.
Based on, and that dumb. That's just garbage. Like, I want people to podcast all the time, you know? And if their show is successful to the tiers that we're laying out, like 20,000 downloads a month is the tier that moves you from 19 to 49. And like, they're like, this podcast does not get that, right? And there are not a lot of podcasts that get that. So yeah, I mean, just looking at like some pretty safe like tiers to move people to, I think.
Have you thought about, and this is just going to hopefully not just get you completely derailed on your pricing plan, but like, I could even see doing tiered based on downloads, include all features, private podcasting as an add-on.
Thought about it. Yep. Thought about it for sure. One of the things that when we get into like the enterprise and the larger private podcasting discussions is like, how is it priced? Because right now it's tiered through our three regular tiers. And then we have an add-on of like bundles of private subscribers. And like that effective price is different than what we have in the regular tiers. So yeah, I mean, we might just go to like, you know, it's 1 cent a month per private subscriber, or 10 cents a month per private subscriber, or whatever. Like, I don't know what it's going to be, but we may do that because that makes all the discussions easier. It's like, hey, this is what it is. It bills automatically, blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah, because that's kind of in my head, that's what I was thinking about, is if you had it as an add-on, it could be priced per subscriber. And so it's like people then understand that. And it's like, it still can grow. It's not like a static price, but. Yep.
And in this world, we're more like a email service provider, right? So more like how ConvertKit thinks about their pricing. So, and the real big wrinkle is I want to introduce not a free tier, but a time unlimited, like a usage based trial at some point too, just because like something we see a lot is, I'm going to go start a podcast and I sign up and I'm ready to go. And then life happens and I can't do it in 14 days. And we let them renew their trial once. So it really is like, it can be a 28-day trial if they want. But I think a lot of folks come in and say like, hey, I want to get to know this tool. I want to check it out, but I'm not ready to go live yet. I can't start paying because like, I'm not really using it. So why don't we just say like free for your first two episodes?
I'm skeptical because I think scarcity and just deadlines are very effective. I think this is like one of those weird things that I think in most SaaS, I think trials are way too long because it's when that first thing comes up, you stop getting onboarded, go deal with that. And then like, you're like, oh, I've got plenty of time. I'll get to it later. And you just don't get to it. But when you don't have as much time, then you're going to be more, if it's truly something you want to do, it's going to be more urgency is more what I mean, rather than scarcity is urgency. You're going to have that driving you to act. And so I would just be cautious because if someone can't get that first episode recorded in 2 weeks, I would wonder what percent of those people will ever do it.
And that's the math. It's like, how much more does it open up the top of the funnel for trial signups when it's a free tier, and that versus what does it do to our conversion rate? I don't have any idea on the data there. And I don't know if such thing exists. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Anecdotally, I think, like single use case studies or whatever, but
it can be a trap that most of us fall into of, like, for our business, churn is an issue. And so we have invested heavily in that. We will continue to. But there's certain customers that, like, keeping them from churning is, like, probably not the best option for them. Like, they're just not a good fit for us. So, like, if they leave, that's fine. And I think it's really easy to go down the path of investing in the fringes or the margins of the customers on the downside of saying, like, okay, like, what can we do to get more of these finicky, shitty customers in, rather than, like, what can we do to charge more for the customers that are already in and having success? And, like, I just think it would be hard for the math to work out in a way where it's almost ever really worth it to spend much time on that side of it. I think it's probably worth doing a quick pass on saying, okay, like, there are going to be some people, if we can help motivate them, they can become a podcaster. Like, a lot of people, especially when doing something new, it can seem like a massive commitment, and it is a big commitment, but they need a push to get over that hump. And once they're there, they're going to keep going, and it's going to be awesome. And so I feel like investing in that, it makes a good amount of sense, but, like, just probably limit to how much far you want to go there. And then it's like, as you go further down the hill, the people who can't even, like, get started, who can barely even sign up right now.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
that's just, I think, where you get quickly diminishing returns.
I agree.
And so it's, that's my kind of rant for the week, I think.
Very sage advice. I'm glad the redesign went well and the pricing rollout and all that. And I know you're just getting some of the initial, like, conversion data on the new trial signups at the new pricing. So it'll be interesting to see and hear how that goes in, like, future episodes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, we've got the 7-day trial, so it's the signups are just starting to convert, but over the weekend, and that's when we always get a big bump in signups. So the next few days is when we'll really see how things are going, but things are looking good. Definitely excited to circle back on this stuff with you in the future, just as you get closer to launching the rebranding, the new pricing, all that for you guys. I think there'll be a lot of interesting things to share. And if listeners have any questions, any comments, anything at all, as always, you can reach out to us at podcast@seekingscale.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Good catching up, Greg.
See you.